Continuing on with altar workers. I'm going to keep bringing these here. I'm going to have a few of these. And someone said, well, what can you continue to teach about altar working? There's a lot of different things we can come across, but one of the things is schools do repetitive stuff. Okay? And I want to get this in your minds. Okay? Acts 8, 12 through 17, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them altar workers, Peter and John. Okay? Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, enduring afflictions. Here it is. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Amen. I want to talk about the importance of an altar worker. The importance of an altar worker. You can be seated. We have experienced here at COP great services. I believe that this is going to continue and even get better. But the more guests we have, folks, the more prepared we have to be as a church. Amen? Paul said in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, here it is, what shall we do? What shall we do? They asked the question. We see what you got, what should we do? We know people that walk through these doors, maybe you bring them in or whatever. In most cases, they don't know what we do here. Okay? Now, they may know that you're a Christian and you've been going to church for years or whatever, but they don't know how to tarry for the Holy Ghost. And they're looking to us and saying, what shall we do? Folks, we must be prepared to minister to our guest. And I'm not just saying a couple of you. We must be prepared to minister to our guest. Okay? Jesus is our Heavenly Father. We believe that, right? But hear this. The church is the mother. Okay? The mother goes through childbearing. Right? Amen, mothers? The mother does most of the child rearing. Amen, mothers? You and I are the church. The church has to be involved in the birthing process because she is the mother. Where are the babies birthed in the church? At the altar. And I want to continue to address things that I believe will help all of us. You see, as great as our altar services are, they could be much better. And we must, folks, we must be sensitive. You cannot be sensitive to the things that are going on in the altar if you're back there. You cannot be sensitive to the things that are going on in the altar if you're talking or if you're scrolling on your phone. We must be sensitive to the fact that the altar service is the most important part of the service. Now, I know that probably blows your theology out of the water. Okay? You could preach all the great messages you want, but if it ain't taken care of up here and explain to them what to do, it don't do any good. You can have a great song service and things pouring out, and maybe even somebody start tearing for the Holy Ghost, but if it ain't worked with them right, it don't do any good. Okay? The altar service is the most important part of the service. So what does that mean? If the altar service is the most important part of the service, that says that the altar worker is very important. Amen? Very important. You see, apostolics spend a lot of time at the altar. Amen? But because we are in the altar so much, I believe sometimes it becomes familiar. Because we are in the altar so much, it becomes sometimes habit. It becomes something we are used to doing quickly. Okay? We tend to shut down our worship. We tend to shut down our praise after just a few minutes. But as the church, as the mother, we have to guard against this with everything that we have. Mothers, when your babies are sick, you don't just go in there and say, "It's okay, honey, you'll be better in the morning. Go to sleep. Mommy's tired. I want to go home." No. Sometimes you're up all night. Huh? You try not to wake up somebody that's getting up early in the morning and leaving. If they're both are leaving in the morning, you're both up trying to help each other. There's things that need taking place right here that we can't just be leaving just because I got to get up early in the morning. There's a thing called sacrifice. And somebody that is wanting and hungry to see souls saved is going to do whatever it takes to help the person that needs help at the altar. Amen? See, we cannot view the altar service as the end of the service. We cannot allow ourselves to shut down after a couple of minutes at the altar, folks. This is where new life is born, at the altar. This is where it all begins for somebody, at the altar. There's many of you could probably say, "I thank God for an old Pentecostal altar." Come on. Hallelujah. The altar call is the most important part of our service. Most of us pray every day, and we should. But often we don't have an immediate need when we come to the altar. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray. And since we are the mother, we are called to be sensitive to the needs of the spiritual babies in our altars. Let's not abort them in the altar. Come on. We come and we pray because others have a need at the altar. Okay, when two or three agree in Jesus' name, it shall be done. Amen? And more often than not, we are praying for somebody else at the altar. Because I said, most of us pray during the day. And so you've asked God. But when you come here, you're not coming up here to meet your own needs. There's a time or two that you need to. But you should take care of that, especially, folks, when we know that we want to be able to help somebody here at the altar. I'm telling you, I've said this many times. We need to come in the door, maybe on the way to church, or maybe early in that day when you're praying, "God, I got church tonight, and God, I pray that you'll put somebody on my heart. I pray, God, to whoever it is that's coming there, that we can help them meet you." Come on. So we have to be willing to stay until their needs are met. That is what is expected of any mother. Be with your children. We look down on mothers that don't take care of their kids right. We don't want to be that. Understand, keep in mind, never forget, we are the mother. The church is the mother. We must pray with them until they break through. You see, it is very likely that if life-changing decisions will be made because of the words that you share with people at the altar, and the time that you spend praying with them will help change their life forever. Souls are hanging in the balance. Decisions are eternal. There is no more important moment during our service than the altar service. Because I'm telling you, folks, now, I'm not saying it's for all, but there may be some that if it don't happen in this time window, it'll never happen. It'll never, ever happen. And the devil will do everything in his power to make sure it don't ever happen again. So if all we ever do is come and pray for just a couple of minutes and then shut it down, we will never accomplish what God desires through us. Hear me tonight, folks. I believe God expects us to be that mothering to these people in the altar. He's called us to be soul winners. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and we are to be like him. You see, beware of things the average person might not notice when you come to the altar. You have to be sensitive to the needs here in the altar. Beware of who visitors are in church. Okay? Think about that. You know, sometimes we just stay focused. You know, you can kind of look around and see if there's a visitor. And start praying for that visitor. And just every now and then glance at them. You don't want them to see you like... No. You don't want them to feel very uncomfortable. Just every now and then it's like, Lord, oh, yeah. We're here for a reason. Right? And there needs to be many more reasons why we're here. Folks, we need to start inviting people. Come with me. Pick somebody up on the way. Whatever it is. But we got to get people here. So when you start to be aware of people that are here and that are visitors, try to be sensitive to things. Be aware of who is a visitor. Find out who needs the Holy Ghost and who doesn't. Now, I'm not saying go out of your pew, walk over to somebody. Do they have the Holy Ghost? But when they come up here and you're coming up here curious, maybe there's somebody around, do you know if they have the Holy Ghost? Okay? So we need to want to know who has it. Look for signs of positive response during service. Okay? Are there tears rolling down their face? Do they have a great big smile because they feel happy to be here? Now, are they nodding on the head when they hear the preaching going on? Are they clapping their hands? See, sometimes people even lower their heads as God's Spirit begins to convict them. And at the same time, don't stare at a visitor and point where they are and make them uncomfortable. You don't want to do that. So in the process of doing all these things, the altar worker must still participate and even lead in worship and in praise. All right? You can lead in that, okay? Folks, one of the most important things for altar workers to do is unite with the preacher. Okay? Just as the preacher is anointed to preach, you must be anointed to in your response. Now think about this. On Sunday during our evangelistic service, you're going to hear the gospel message preached very often. You know, right? Jesus Christ and him crucified, the new birth, the death, burial, resurrection. How many have heard it? Probably 100 times. Right? Maybe more. Here's the danger in this, though. The danger is that we have heard the gospel message hundreds and maybe thousands of times, and it has become familiar, and to some, even mundane. Then our response, because it's mundane, we become mundane. Amen. Huh? Our approach to the altar becomes mundane. And our prayer becomes mundane, right? Here is where the problem lies. If we are not excited about the gospel message, then neither will the guest get excited about the gospel message. Come on. If we are not excited about Jesus, neither will our guest be excited about Jesus. If we are not excited about our church, neither will our guest be excited about our church. They can find that kind of church down the road. We are different. Folks, we got something to be happy about. We got the truth. We got this gospel message. Amen. And it has changed our life, and we have to be happy. Do we have a message worth getting excited over? Is Jesus worth shouting over? Is the Holy Ghost worth jumping over? We have to show it, folks. And I'm not talking about putting on a show for our guests. Man, they need to see that this comes from the heart. I truly love being apostolic. I thank God for His goodness and His grace in my life. I am a blessed man because I know Jesus Christ in the fullness of the gospel. They need to see that. They don't just need to hear it from the preacher. It needs to be coming from the seats, folks, and saying, "Amen, preacher, preach it. You're telling the truth." It's got to come from the heart, folks. You put it on a show, they'll see it. Come on, we know how people can see fake. We're talking about being sensitive. Can we be sensitive? If you're not very sensitive, ask God to help you to be. As the altar call approaches, be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You see, God may be leading you to pray with a specific person. This is what I'm saying. We're coming to church, folks. We're coming and believing God that somebody's going to be there, or we're going to bring somebody with us, and God is going to change their life. That ought to get you excited just to walk through the door. Folks, don't ever let church come mundane to you. "Oh, I got to go to church tonight, or pastor's going to text me." Shame on you. We ought to want to be in the house. I saw something the other day. It said, you know, church ought to, you know, it shouldn't be excuses to not be in church. Church, you got to find every excuse to go to church. "Can you come over tonight?" "No, I'm going to church tonight, buddy. Forget you." We ought to want to walk through the doors. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Come on, folks. Can you say that with all honesty? Let me tell you something. If you don't have a desire and a hunger to go to church and glad to be in church, don't ever expect anybody in your mission field to want what you have. They ought to see you on a Wednesday with a little extra step because you're going to church on Wednesday night. This place ought to be packed just like Sunday morning, folks. And I encourage you to encourage others to be here. Thank you for being here. In our Mondays, we ought to have an extra step because we had good worship service on Sunday. Come on. If you want the people in your world to be saved, let them see how excited you are to live for God. Don't let them always see your lip dragging the ground. Come on, we all come across problems here and there, but it shouldn't be an everyday thing. You know, it's like the old saying, "I sin every day." Well, shame on you. You shouldn't sin every day. I believe in repentance. But it shouldn't be because every day you just expected to sin. Come on. Is this all right? I'm talking about being sensitive. Be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Amen? God may be leading you to pray for a specific person. A specific person. And if that person is not at the altar, go back and approach them and offer to go to the altar and pray with them. But if they refuse, then respect their wish and let them know that you'll be praying for them. You see, once you're in the altar, be sensitive to those in need, especially sinners and visitors. Don't leave them alone for more than a few moments. They may not understand what is happening. Remember what our text said in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." That means they were convicted. "And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter had just preached a powerful, convicting message. People were ready to make a change in their hearts. They wanted to do something, okay? This is how it is, folks. Peter preached the message. Whoever is up here is preaching a message. And all of a sudden, they're feeling this in their heart, and they're wanting to do something. But they didn't have a clue what to do. And just because there's an awesome message preached doesn't mean that people are going to pray through. They need instruction. They may feel the presence of God, and maybe they don't understand it. They may not understand what it means even to repent. They may not even understand how to respond to God. So it is important that you go to them quickly. Peter was the first altar worker in Pentecost. He gave them instructions to 3,000 receive the Holy Ghost on the same day. We need instruction in our altars. Okay? Our altar service will never be successful without altar workers. In Acts 8, Philip was preaching to the Samaritans, and they heard the word, believed, and were baptized. Acts 8, 14 through 17. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. You see, it wasn't until Peter and John came and laid hands on them that they received the Holy Ghost. Peter and John were the altar workers. They were the ones experienced in praying people through to the Holy Ghost. In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer saw Paul and Silas escape from prison. He knew it was a miracle of God, and he was convicted, but he didn't know how to respond. So he asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul immediately responded by saying, "You first must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ," and then he spoke the words of the Lord to him and his whole house. Guess what happened? They were all baptized and saved that very same night. They received instruction. In Acts 19, the disciples of John did not get baptized until someone explained Jesus' name baptism to them. Then they didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. They did not receive the Holy Ghost until Paul explained it and laid his hands on them and prayed for them. Paul was an altar worker who gave instructions. Folks, hear me tonight. People need instruction at the altar. They don't understand how to connect with God. Might be their first time even walking through the doors of a church. And often all they know is that there's something drawing them. There is something pulling them. They've never felt like this before. And we are meeting these people at the most important moment in their life. We are meeting them at their crossroads. We may very well be the one who points them in the right direction. See, they don't understand it. But they are transitioning from the realm of the flesh to the realm of the spirit. They don't understand it. The reason they don't understand is simply because they haven't been given the instructions from the word of God. Have you ever tried building a piece of furniture or something without the instructions? Most of the guys raising their hands because they throw the instructions away. All right? You ever try to do that? They are easier to build if you have the instructions. If you don't, you're probably in trouble. You're probably in there digging through the trash looking for those instructions that you threw away. Or maybe you bought it, didn't even have instructions, so you're going online. Because it's easier to build with the instructions. It wasn't until the furniture fell apart that you realized how important the instructions were. All right? Instructions are important. Now, there's three things that are necessary for them to connect with God. The first thing is most important, faith. They have to have faith. Worship is also important, and instruction is important. Now, you know they have at least a little faith, or they probably wouldn't even be at the altar. All right? Worship, hopefully, has been taking place all service long. Instructions have usually been given during the word, but there are many things that may not have been addressed during the preaching. And the altar worker then becomes the coach or the navigator for that seeker. It's very important that altar workers are prepared when they come to the altar. Okay? This is not the time for you to come up here and repent of everything. It's time for you to come up here already prepared. Come to church early if you need. Get in prayer and get prepared. Say, God, I want to be used. I want a miracle here tonight, God. Okay? There are a number of things that we need to do to be prepared. All right? First, there has to be faithfulness on your part. Faithfulness to the things of God. To be an altar worker, an altar instructor, you have to have faithfulness. Faithfulness in your attendance. Faithful in your stewardship, tithing and giving. Very, very, very important. Faithful. You know why that's important? Because if you don't give your tithes and offerings, you don't trust God. Period. Period. Okay? Faithful in your stewardship, tithing and giving. Faithful also in your personal walk with God. All right. The second thing, accountability to spiritual authority. God's anointed always flows down from above. His anointing flows. All right. If we do not follow God's intended plan of authority, then his anointing and his spirit will be withheld. Plain and simple, folks. It will be withheld. And then we also must have a mindset of ministry. Okay? Well, how does that work, Pastor? Well, first off, you love people. Okay? If you don't love people, you don't care if they're saved or not. And I wonder if God is even in you. I doubt it. Because God is love. All right? And also, we must have, here's the hard one. Here it is, a servant's heart. Jesus was a servant, was he not? We must have a servant's heart. We must also have a burden and passion for each person we pray with. It's a must. We must have faith that God will provide whatever is needed. Okay? These are important, folks. Very important. And then another thing is our commitment. Commitment is a byproduct of a burden. I'm committed. Okay? Mothers that aren't committed to the babies have abortions. Okay? They don't want to be committed. We have to be committed to those in need. It's a byproduct of a burden. And this is not just a Sunday calling, folks. Okay? The job of an altar worker begins on Monday and every day between then and Sunday. You're praying for people that are going to be in church so you can be there to minister to them. Okay? It's not just a Sunday thing. Teachers, Sunday school teachers, it don't just happen on Sunday. It happens all week long. Pray for those kids. Pray for their families. That's what we're doing this for. We want their families to say, I've seen a difference in my child since they've been going to that church. Come on. The job of an altar worker begins on Monday and every day. So remember, the church is the mother. A mother prays harder than anyone for the salvation of the lost child. Amen? Are you praying for those who need salvation? Are you praying every day? Are you praying before service? Are you fasting for those who need the Holy Ghost? Fasting adds strength to our prayers. Fasting is a cure for unbelief. You know what it does, fasting? Humbles us. Amen? It crucifies the flesh and makes way for the spirit. Are you willing to stay, folks, and pray with that person as long as they need to pray? Oh, man, I wish they'd hurry up. I told so-and-so I was going to meet him at Long John Silver or something. There's a need. There's a need. One of the most powerful hindrances to commitment is laziness. Amen? The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And sometimes we are too lazy to pray. We must also be committed in worship also. Worship invites God into our lives. Worship during the service and during the week. Worship. And folks, we also have to have a sensitivity to the service and the altar call. Folks, we need to be more sensitive. Amen. Pay attention to the preaching. Amen. Reinforce what was preached if it applies. Following the direction of leadership. If they ask you to stand and worship, stand and worship. If they ask you to clap your hands or whatever that is asked up here, we need to follow it because everybody else needs to see this is important. If they don't see us doing it, what are you speaking to them? Okay? So be sensitive to the type of altar call given by the ministry. Follow directions. The Holy Ghost may be leading the minister in a specific manner. Anticipate what the leader needs during the altar call. You see, the pastor or whoever is speaking may rotate from one person to the next up here in this altar. Okay? But they may still need you to keep praying with that one person. Be aware of the pastor or the altar leader. They may be wanting you, your attention to go pray with a specific person. Okay? You don't want to have to run down there and tap you on the shoulder because you're talking. We need to be paying attention, all right? Because he may want to say, hey, get over here. Some of you have seen me do that. Lead, you're here. Come over here, pray with this person, okay? Be aware of others who are praying with that same person. If they are an altar worker and have already connected with that person, then let them continue and guide that person. Work as a team. One person speaking and guiding while others intercede. And folks, this is important. Be aware of those hindering prayers you may have to rescue somebody. Well, I've seen some ugly stuff at conferences and things. I've seen some ugly. I've actually went and stood between our folks in different rallies. I've went and stood between them and someone that was a knucklehead. I promise you, I have. You're not gonna shake, rattle, roll our saints. You may do that in your home, but you're not doing it here for Church of Pentecost. Okay? It's important. We have to have also the knowledge of the Word. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Knowing what the Word says can be one of the most powerful tools of an altar worker. Memorize the Word. If we know what God has promised through His Word, then we can share those same promises with the person that we are working with. There are five key chapters that every apostolic altar worker should have great knowledge of. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 8, Philip preaching to the Samaritans. Acts chapter 10, salvation to the household of Cornelius. These were the first Gentiles to receive the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 16, salvation to the Philippian jailer and his household. Acts chapter 19, the Ephesus disciples being rebaptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. These are also disciples of John the Baptist. You don't have to be a theologian to be an altar worker. Just know the new birth experience. How many of you still want to be an altar worker? You see, folks, approaching people at an altar, the first thing you do is introduce yourself, ask their name, and remember it, okay? It's something that's I have to work on. It's remembering names sometimes. And ask them what they want from the Lord. Don't assume you already know. Give instruction if needed. Repent with them. All right, here, let me tell you something. When you repent with people, it is we, us thing. Lord, right now we ask for, let you forgive us. Well, I'm saved. I don't care. You repent with them. Don't make them feel like the dirty dog. All right? Help us, Lord God, to Lord, who just want to live for you. Okay? It's a we, us thing. All right? We're working together here. This makes them feel more comfortable. And that's what it's all about. Then pray for their need. All right? If they are seeking the Holy Ghost, ask them to start thanking God for the Holy Ghost. It is a gift. All right? Agree with them that God is going to fill them. When you are done praying, ask them if they felt like God has met their needs. If they were praying for the Holy Ghost, ask them if they spoke in tongues. Well, I heard them. Ask them anyways. Okay, you want them to confirm it. All right? If they are praying for the Holy Ghost, ask if they spoke in tongues. Explain what just happened. In the book of Acts, when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in a different language. That's how they knew that they had the Holy Ghost. Amen? So you explain to them, if they want to continue praying, pray with them again. All right? Always, folks, always, always, always be positive and let them know that God is doing a great work in their life. Point them in the right direction when they are done. What is that? If they haven't been baptized, then you need to be baptized. We can baptize you. All right? And then, hey, can I get a Bible study? You need a Bible study. Let me explain more of what God has just done here in your life. Those are the ways that we want to go. Amen? Amen. I hope these are helping you. If you need to go over these, they'd be online. You can go on and listen to them again, make some more notes. But again, I want to be bringing this to you next week and maybe probably on a little before that, after that. But we want to get these things, and I'm going to be talking to some of you to ask you to be altar workers. Now, just because I don't come and talk to you doesn't mean you can't be an altar worker. You can stand at a distance and pray. You see, one of the things I want to get away from and I don't want to see is 15 people yawning this year and over here too. Because this one's saying, hang on, and this person's saying, let go. And they're like, okay. Okay? But we need this, folks. We need God to start doing things. And every one of us are altar workers. Hear me. Okay? I'm going to talk to some people and get some commitments so that whenever a minister is up here, he says, can the altar workers come forward? Okay? But then there's going to be the altar workers that are going to come up behind them and pray and believe God and trust God. Because they need to hear, people need to hear that excitement. Come on. When you hear things get exciting, you want more of it. That's why when we have a great worship service, folks, that's why it's so important for us. I'm telling you, we have to be sensitive. And when God is moving in the Spirit during our song services, we all need to get with it. Don't sit there, cross your arms, and chew your gum. We're coming to church as altar workers. And it's all preparing for that birth. Come on. When you hear somebody's rushed to the hospital to have a baby, if you can go, you want to go. And you're waiting to hear the good news. I've had people call and say, so-and-so had a baby. My wife never stops there. That's never good enough. Well, how big is it? How long is it? I don't know. How much did it weigh? I don't know. Is it a boy or a girl? I think it's a boy. I don't know. But she wants to know all the details. That's what I want our altar workers to be. Come on, God. I want to hear them speaking in tongues. Come on, I want to see this birth take place. We've come here today in this service and built this up to this moment right here. God, when they leave here, this is what we ought to be praying. When you're standing right here as an altar worker, even if you aren't up here speaking into their ears, you say, God, leave them, let them leave here today a totally different person. Okay? Let's stand. I'm excited for what God is doing, folks. I believe God is, and I believe it with all of my heart, we are just seeing the tip of the iceberg. Come on. And God is saying, come on, saints of God and Church of Pentecost, prepare yourself for what I'm going to do. Come on. Now listen, we need, I want everybody to be an altar worker, but let me tell you something. We need some Bible study teachers, folks. And we shouldn't have to chase you down. We ought to have several people trying to get out Bible study from one person. Try to beat somebody else to the punch. I'm telling you, you want the blessings of God in your life, let him see that. Come on, let him see that. And let us do what we can. Because let's be ready for what God wants to do. I believe we're in revival. We've been seeing people receive the Holy Ghost. I don't want to say God give us wrath, because I believe we're in it. But it's going to even get greater. That's when I pray. I don't want to say, God, give us revival. No, I believe we got revival. The Lord just continue to pour out. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name. Greet one another.